Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
This is a proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Remember that little gesture you're doing right now, because I'm going to talk about that. While more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the people of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. And at the judgment, the people of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented, and there's something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. So this pastor was talking to a little 7-year-old boy out in the back of church there. And he said to him, he goes, "Do you pray at night before you go to bed?" And he goes, "Yes, Father." He goes, "Do you pray in the morning when you get up?" He goes, "No, Father." He goes, "No, Father, why don't you pray in the morning?" He goes, "Because I ain't scared in the morning." I want to talk about the scriptures. And the Bible is a book of prayer. If you read the Psalms, you'll see the psalmist praying to God, "Oh, Lord, help me, and where are you, and I need your presence." You know, it's a beautiful time of prayer. And Vatican II tells us that the scriptures really are God speaking to us. See, we pray to God when we speak, and God speaks to us when we get into the Bible, when we read the scriptures. You know, it's interesting, as Catholics, we reverence the Bible. And I want to talk about the scriptures as we begin our retreat, because I want you having a closer walk with Jesus. And many of you already get into the Bible, but some of you aren't quite sure about it and how to get into it. And I'm going to help you, because I want you, long after this retreat's over, long after Father Cedric has left town, I want you walking closer with Jesus. And I've found a great way, and that's through the scriptures. But our Catholic Church has always reverenced the scriptures. For example, it's interesting, you know, the priest, when he proclaims the gospel, right when he finishes, well, before yesterday, I'll hold up the book, the deacon or the priest, I'll hold up the book of the gospels. And, you know, that's, you know, everybody looks at the book. It's because we reverence it. Sometimes we'll incense the book. You know, just like when we incense people, we're incensing the presence of God in you. Well, there's the presence of God in the Word. Then right after I proclaim the gospel, I bend over and I kiss it. It's interesting. It's not because I'm in love with a book, but I am in love with the gospel. Do you know that the primary duty of a priest, some people think it's to lead a congregation or to lead meetings or to be an administrator or to celebrate the sacraments. That's not the primary duty. The primary duty of a priest is to preach the gospel of God to all the people. So I'm doing the primary duty right now. This is what I've been called to do. Paul, set apart before he was born, we heard in the first reading, to proclaim the gospel of God. And that's all of us. We're set apart and consecrated for this great word, this truth, this gospel. And the other thing that we do is the people of God, you know, when I say this is a reading according to the gospel, according to Luke, and we all do this. That's what I tried to alert you to. What are we doing? We're saying, "May your word be on my mind. May your word be on my lips, and may your word be in my heart." See, those aren't just empty gestures. You know, we're really proclaiming, "Lord, give us your word. We want to hear it." And then, you know, we sang, Ray sang, or he led us in, "If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart." So the voice of God comes in many different ways, but one of the principal ways is through the scriptures. The scriptures have changed me as a person. I've been reborn through the Bible. I'm fed through the Bible. I'm strengthened through the Bible. I'm led by the Scriptures. I'm nourished by the Word. And I want you to have this. And you already have it, but I want you to rekindle it. And you can get into it. It's awesome. You know, back in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, you know, the religious leaders, they used to wear an interesting little box. It was called a phylactery. And that's a word that you probably don't hear too much. They wore this little leather box right on their forehead. It was called a phylactery. And inside the phylactery was scripture quotes. There were four of them. One was, love the Lord. It was called the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and soul. And it was right there on their forehead. And you know the reason why they put it on their forehead? So they couldn't miss it. You know, imagine walking around with a box on your forehead. And it's the same way. And they would also put it on their arms, on their doorpost. So throughout their day, they would be reminded about the Word of God. And it's the same way with us. You know, we are people of the Word. We're people of the Gospel. As a religious community, we passionists, we get together every day, and we sit and we chant the Scriptures. If you ever go to, for example, Vina, where the Trappists are here in California, they pray the Scriptures, they sing the Scriptures, they meditate on the Scriptures. And it's not just for religious, it's for religious people. It's not just for priests, it's for God's people, so that we can be strong and be spoken to and have God lead us and guide us. And I like to say, you know what, one of the reasons why they put those phylacteries right on their mind, right on their forehead, is because it's, get this, the word is medicine for the mind. You know, we take medicine for the body, but we need medicine for the mind. And I'll tell you why. I like to preach, and one of the reasons is because I'm a very anxious person. You know, I'm fearful and anxious, and how many people are going to come this morning, and how many people are going to come tonight. But when I'm about to preach, what I do is I study the word, and I think about what I'm going to say, and I'll wake up in the morning, and my mind, the mind is kind of like, you ever see a hamster cage? You see that little wheel in there, and the hamster, as soon as you wake up, you know, the hamster gets on the wheel and starts running. And our minds are like that. They start thinking about our relationships, our future, our health, you know, all these different things, and we can get so worried and stressed out. Well, the word is medicine for the mind because, to me, it anchors me in truth. It anchors me in grace. It anchors me in blessing. And what happens is, instead of thinking about all that, you can't think of two things at once. And instead of thinking about all these crazy things, I'm thinking about the word. Like on Sunday morning when I got up, instead of thinking about all these hundreds of people I'm going to be preaching to, I'm thinking about, okay, what is it that I'm going to say? You know, what's the sequence? And what's the blessing for me? And that's the thing, you know, when you're a preacher of the word, you know, it's one thing to preach, but we receive as well as preach. So what I'm saying is that the word is medicine for the mind. And many of you are all stressed out. You know, you're anxious, you're fearful. There's, you know, anxiety, guilt, and fear, as I say. You know, you're thinking about all these different things. You get into the daily word, and it's like an anchor. That's one of the earliest Christian symbols for Christianity. It was a cross with an anchor underneath. And it's the word that anchors us in Christ. And it's medicine. It brings healing. You know, if sometimes you're just worried or stressed out of something, just open the Bible or a good spiritual book and get into it and start thinking about what's there. I love what Paul says in Philippians 4. Whatever is excellent, whatever is beautiful, whatever is holy, think about these things. Then the God of peace will be with you. And that's what we're all after. We heard that in the first reading. Grace and peace be with you from the Lord Jesus and from God our Father. And it's grace that saves and it's peace that supports. And that's what the Bible mediates, this wonderful grace of God, this free gift. So first of all, the word is medicine for the mind. And second of all, you know, so that's worth the price of admission here this morning. I mean, the word is medicine for your mind, because some of you are like, how do you control your thoughts? Well, what you have to do is, like I said, you can't think about two things at once. So if you're thinking about something positive, then the negative stuff will leave. It's got no room. I always like to say, worship instead of worry. Worship instead of worry. And reading the word is part of worship. You're worshiping God as you read the word, and you're also receiving a lot. So the first thing, it anchors your mind. You know, obviously I'm trying to get you into the word here. That's the purpose of this. And the second thing is, God speaks to us in the scriptures. As I quoted to you from Vatican II, when we pray, we speak to God, and when we read the Bible, God speaks to us. And that's so important. And let me give you an example. You know, I go on retreat every year, and I like to come out to California. I live in Houston now, but I used to live in Sacramento for 10 years, and I discovered many retreat centers. For example, Vina, where the Trappists are, I used to go there. That's just up by Chico, in case you're wondering. And there's another place in Big Sur, the Camaldolese. They're like Benedictines. They have a beautiful retreat center overlooking the Pacific Ocean. And I love to go there every year. You know, I go there and I spend a week in a trailer all by myself, just reading, praying, listening to the Word, just being quiet. Well, last May, I was there, and something beautiful happened. You know, I had the scriptures, and I just kind of opened them up, and, you know, Lord, lead me and guide me. And I was led to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. And I was reading, and it was about the Israelites on the journey. Now, remember now, we're all on the journey. We're all on the pilgrimage. We're all walking. And the Israelites were going through the desert. That's the metaphor for our journey. And they're going through the desert, and they're complaining, and they're murmuring. And oftentimes we can do that, like, God, where are you? Why'd you take us out of Egypt? You know, we have no food, we have no drink. And God had already fed them with manna, but manna wasn't, you know, it wasn't a three-course meal. It was just kind of this bread-type substance. And they wanted more. They said, why did you bring us out into the desert and there's no meat to eat? So what God did, if you remember, is he rained down quail for them to eat, birds. You know, they all of a sudden they started landing and they could capture them, you know, and now they've got all this meat to eat. And I said, okay, Lord, what are you saying to me? And I sensed that God was saying, Cedric, I'm going to take care of your needs. Don't worry about your future. I'll talk more about that tonight when I talk about trust, trust in God. Don't be afraid of your future. Wherever you go, you know, whatever you do, I am going to be there for you. I thought, wow, that's such a comforting word. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, that's part of what the Bible will do. It will encourage you. So I just, you know, I love to take walks. I went outside and I'm taking a walk now after just reading that and looking around at the beautiful blue ocean and everything and just enjoying the day and feeling good. I'm on retreat. You know, God just gave me that beautiful word about the quail and everything. All of a sudden I look and I hear, I don't recommend preaching that, but. And I look over and there's all these little birds with these funny things on their, you know, on their neck. And there was a family of seven of them. There's the mother and the father and these five little kids, and they're coming right over to me. And they're, I go, aren't they cute? You know, and all of a sudden, they're quail. I started looking around. I said, am I going to get an angel now? You know? But it was a confirmation. You know, that's, see, God does speak. Sometimes it's not always loud and clear like that, but God speaks to his people. You just have to open yourself up. It's not always that way. It doesn't always seem like something's happening. But if you keep coming to the Word and you keep spending time, you're going to start hearing. And you will get it. You will get it. Eventually, you will get it. You know, I can get it. You can get it. Because sometimes I have a hard heart. And if today you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart, right? You know, and he comes in people and he comes in creation and he comes in music and TV and radio and all kinds of different things. But one of the wonderful ways is through the Word. Please understand that. And he speaks to us. He speaks comfort. He speaks guidance. He speaks love. He speaks salvation. He speaks goodness. And especially he says, I'm with you, over and over and over again. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I will never fail or forsake you. See, that's our God. I mean, our God is so awesome. So, you know, that was one of the things that happened on retreat. There were many others, but, you know, the second thing that I wanted to tell you, first of all, the Word is medicine for the mind. That's why, you know, we don't wear phylacteries today, but in effect, it's very important. Second of all, God speaks to us in the Word. Now, I think one of the reasons why people don't get into the Word is because they were told years ago that you got to watch out for strange interpretations. I remember, you know, growing up Catholic, many folks, maybe especially people your age, were told not to read the Bible because priests were afraid that you would go off in strange interpretations and you know, become Protestant or something. I don't know. I've discovered that, you know what, there are many different denominations that have strange interpretations. And let me tell you about this. My nephew just got married yesterday, but it was in Florida, and I wasn't able to be there. It's my sister's son. You know, I called my mom last night and asked her how it went, and beautiful wedding and everything. But I got to go to the shower. It was about a month ago when I was visiting my mom down in Florida. So at least I could be there then, you know, be with the family. But the interesting thing is, my nephew, my sister, her whole family used to be Catholic, but they're not Catholic anymore. They had a conversion, the whole family. And believe it or not, they're of another denomination, and the other denomination that they belong to is called Jehovah's Witnesses. Did I hear a groan? Well, anyway, I was talking to the grandfather of the clan, you know, who's Italian, like I am, and who was brought up Catholic in Massachusetts, like many in Massachusetts are Catholic. And I said, you know, actually it was the grandmother. The grandmother had this big conversion. And I said, you know, you were Catholic. What happened to bring you to be a Jehovah's Witness? And she said, well, Cedric, she doesn't call me Father Cedric. She said, Cedric, I was at home one day and somebody knocked on the door and they had a Bible. And she said, I was so hungry for truth. And to be honest with you, I wasn't getting it in the church. And here was somebody that came to me with an explanation of things. Granted, it's their interpretation, but they were explaining things in a way that I could understand, and it sounded right. And I became a Jehovah's Witness, as did my husband, as did my children. Then your sister married into it. And by the way, she's really into this now. So did you notice how it happened? Somebody came with the word. See, people are hungry, I believe, instinctively for the word inside. They're to hear from God, a personal God, a God that will touch them. So that's not all I wanted to say. You know, then the grandfather sat with me a little while later. You know, it's interesting that that's how they all became converted. Now, I mean, there's Jehovah Witnesses that they're like a center for them. And they go out and evangelize and everything. And I go over there, I feel kind of uncomfortable, but, you know, we relate well, and it's fine. But the grandfather was sitting next to me, you know, at the shower. You know, this is the head of the tribe now. And, you know, we're eating, and my mom's sitting there. And he looks at me, and he goes, so what do you think about the end of the world? You know, that's the big thing in the Jehovah's Witnesses that, you know, and I'm not blasting that denomination. It's another denomination. They've got some truth, but it's not the fullness of truth. And, you know, he says, what about the end of the world, and what do you think about it? See, their big tenet is that any day now, it's over, you know, and you better be ready because this thousand-year reign is coming. I don't know if you know any of their things, but so I looked at him and I said, I know that that's big for you because he said, you know, what about all these hurricanes and Iraq and you know, the trouble in the Middle East that's going on and the tsunami and all these different things? Don't you think it's the end of the world? And I said, well, you know, to be honest with you, the Bible talks about what we call the end times. That's a phrase that the word uses to describe the time from Jesus to the time that he comes again. We are in the end times. But they were in the end times in the apostolic age also. So for the last 2,000 years, we've been in the end times. Now, somebody picks that Bible up and reads it and says, we're in the end times. It's going to happen any day now. Well, it is going to happen, but nobody knows the day or the hour. And, you know, what just happened in Pakistan yesterday, 40,000 people killed. That's horrific. And the tsunami and the hurricanes, that's terrible. But Jesus predicted great earthquakes, tremendous wars, nation rising against nation. None of that has happened yet. We've had wars, we've had earthquakes, we've had tsunamis, we've had natural disasters, but it's not the end yet. And we can tell that from the scriptures. But so what I'm saying is that, you know, there's strange interpretations. You got to be careful. And here's what you do. The Holy Spirit inspired the scriptures. It came out of a community, came out of very many different communities. But the Holy Spirit inspired the communities to write this down. So we need the Holy Spirit to be able to interpret it well. But we also need the tradition of the church. And we need the rock-solid teaching of the church to help us interpret it. So, I've asked you to get into the scriptures and to pray in the Holy Spirit for an openness, for an understanding, but be careful. You know, don't go off on strange interpretations. If you're running into problems with a book of Revelation or something like that, well then, check it against the tradition of the church. Look at good commentaries. Ask Father. You know, it's not just the priest who knows everything. But, you know, if you're really in doubt about something, we can help you, or we can lead you to some commentaries. But most of Scripture, so I'm talking about interpretations, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of Scripture, because most of Scripture, of course, is encouragement. It's promises. It's inspiration. It's grace. It's feeding. It's help. It's support. And you don't want to miss out on that. You see, when I told that story about the quail, many people have a relationship with God. You know, God is out there somewhere, and there's a relationship. You know, I have a prayer relationship with God. But it's not the biblical God. See, the biblical God does all kinds of things. For example, feeds his people in the desert. And God will feed you and lead you and help you. And how are you going to know who God is unless you have a biblical relationship with him? You know, it's the Scriptures that opens up who God is to us. In fact, St. Jerome said, ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. In other words, you can't really know who Jesus is unless you know the Jesus of the Bible. So, really what I'm imploring you or asking you to have is a biblical relationship with God and with Christ. And there's no other way to get it. I can't give it to you. You can't get it from anybody else. You have to get this on your own. Now, the Word among us. You know, I'm not just the type that preaches, get into the Bible and do this and do that. I'm going to try to help you. So this morning I gave you a worship aid. Let's take a look at that really quickly. If you didn't get one on the way out. It's called The Word Among Us. They're at the doors. You don't have to do that right now, but you can get it on the way out. Now, I do not work for these people. And by the way, if you're listening by the tape, I'm showing the folks The Word Among Us. It's a mass and meditation guide. And you can get it on the website. It's www.wau.org. But anyway, in the middle, if you take a look at the middle section of the book, we have the daily mass readings. So let's go to today, October 10th, Monday, October 10th. And there's no page numbers. You just have to look on the top for Monday, October 10th. So we've got the Scriptures for today. Now, I feel like, because a lot of times when I invite people to read the Bible, they say, well, where do I start? Well, why don't we go with the daily mass readings? Let's go with what the church gives us. So there you have the first reading, the psalm, the gospel. You've got the prayers of the church. If it's a saint's day, you'll have the saint. Okay, and it's for all month. Okay, now let's go toward the front of the book, and you have a little meditation on each day. Let's go to page 30 in the white section toward the front of the book. And you'll see Monday, October 10th. And then it gives you, from their priests who wrote this, it gives you a little meditation on the Scriptures. And that can kind of help you to get into the Word. So, I don't work for these people, but what I told them, I said, I'm a missionary. I go to all these different churches. I love your magazine because it gives us the daily mass readings and a nice commentary. If you send these to me, I will gladly give them out to the folks because I like to give gifts to people. So, they were happy to do it. So they send me 300 copies wherever I go. So this is a gift to you. Now if you like it, look in the front of the book, you'll see that there's a little subscription form. By the way, does any of you already get this, The Word Among Us? Okay, a couple of you do. All right, you like it. Do you like it? Yeah, it's really good. You'll see a little subscription form. Notice senior citizens, you get $3 off. Those are 65 and older. I have to hold it away, I'm getting older too. So anyway, if you like it, get it. It's only $30 a month, or $30 a year. And it will help you to get into the Word. And it'll help you to know what the mass readings are. And it's got even a little commentary built in. So I feel it's really important, and it'll really help you to get into the Scripture. So, okay, could you put those down for a minute now? Everybody's reading it, and you're all ignoring me. That's okay. I'm really glad. So I want to encourage you to get into the Scriptures, and let me conclude this now by saying that, really, I would not be a priest had it not been for the Word. You know, I remember coming to the Word when I was a teenager and opening it up, and Jesus spoke to me, and he said, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be open, seek and you will find, and it changed my life. And ever since then, you know, I've been nourished and comforted and led and guided. And really, as I said, you have a closer walk with God and with Jesus by getting into the Scriptures. And let me just say this also. If you really want to get something out of the Word, here's what you do. Oftentimes I'll come and I'll read the daily Mass readings, and it doesn't, you know, it'll go in one ear and out the other, and I'll read the commentary, and it says, okay, you know, that's good. But if you really want to get something out of it, pretend that you had to give a 5-minute homily to your fellow parishioners. See, I don't get anything out of it sometimes unless I have to preach. When I have to preach, I have to dig, and I have to look for stories, and I have to examine my own experience. And what does this really mean, and what can I tell people about this? And as I do that, then I start to really get something out of it. So what I'm saying is, it's not just going to fall on you, folks. You know, and the temptation is you just go to the commentary instead of the Scriptures. You got to dig a little bit. You got to think a little bit. You got to spend a little bit of time with it. But if you do, wow, great things can happen. And I believe that God will speak to you. So really, as we begin our retreat, our time together, I want to try to get you anchored in the Word. It's important. The church has always reverenced the Scriptures. We incense it. We kiss the book. We make the signs. You know, it's all there. It's just a matter of us getting into it. It's medicine to the mind. God speaks to us in it. Don't worry about strange interpretations. We have a great tradition. You know, just continually come to the exhortation, to the inspiration, to the guidance of the Word, and God will truly touch you and speak to you, I believe. And let me end with this. I was at my diaconate ordination. You know, when you're ordained, remember what I said the primary duty of a priest is, to preach the gospel. Well, the deacons, too. First, I was ordained a deacon, then a priest. That's the sequence. I remember at my diaconate ordination, I knelt before the bishop, and the bishop actually hands you the book of the Gospels. That's part of the ceremony. And as he does that, he told me this. He said, believe what you read, teach what you believe, and practice what you preach.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.